Welcome to the Parrot Care Sessions. Produced by Talking Naturally, exclusively for the World Parrot Trust, this is a series of in-depth conversations with leading experts, helping you to discover better ways to live with and care for your feathered friends. Hello, today on the Parrot Care Sessions, I'm talking with Chris Porter. Chris is best known for her parrot enrichment activity books, which she has made freely available to parrot caregivers for many years. Her books are full of photographs, suggestions, and ideas to enrich the lives of parrots and promote activity rather than stillness. A graduate of Susan Friedman's behaviour course, Living and Learning with Parrots, Chris specialises in enrichment, serving as an online expert for the World Parrot Trust, and has had numerous articles on the subject featured in such publications as Good Bird Magazine, Parrots Magazine, and Australian Birdkeeper. Well, providing our parrots with enrichment through foraging opportunities and toys that sustain activity is an ongoing challenge, and Chris joins us today to share her ideas to motivate and inspire all parrot caregivers looking for ways to enrich the companion parrot environment. Chris, welcome to the Parrot Care Sessions.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Chris, let's start with the basics and define what foraging is, and then we'll go on to discuss simple ways that we can provide great foraging opportunities to our companion parrots.
I guess the best thing I can come up with is the dictionary definition of foraging is a search or the process of searching for something, especially a search for food and supplies or a search among a varied selection of things. And if we think about foraging, in nature, the availability of food is uncertain, and obtaining food is a complex and time-consuming activity, and I would assume the search is both challenging and stimulating. Parrots in the wild, they have to travel to areas with food, they've got to locate the food, and then they've got to figure out how to extract the food item or the edible portion of the foods that they find. But in our homes, we deliver the food in a dish.
Yeah.
And the act of finding, extracting, and eating the food, it rarely presents as a challenge to the companion parrot. So when you provide your parrot with foraging opportunities or foraging toys, you help alleviate boredom and you're going to encourage more active behaviors for your parrot.
Before we get into the heart of this discussion, Chris, we should perhaps point out that though wild parrots spend probably up to two-thirds of the day foraging for food, we're not going to be suggesting that caregivers attempt to provide their birds with a similar amount of foraging time, are we?
My answer to that is simply no. You'll drive yourself crazy with guilt if you try to mimic that in the home. You know, I give my parrots a lot of foraging toys and opportunities to forage, but in the captive environment in my living room, I don't believe I can come close to providing them with the same amount of foraging opportunities that they would get in the wild.
Right.
And then I also remember that while the parrots are foraging in the wild for food, they're also spending a majority of their time remaining constantly alert for predators, and I can't replicate that experience either, nor should I. But I think what we can and should do is make a concentrated effort to provide them with a variety of foraging opportunities. And when you're thinking of the captive environment of your living room, foraging can also be a search for non-food items as well. And you can extend it to your whole house. I like to put what I call strategically placed clutter around the house.
That's a great phrase.
I may put a crock of foot toys on the counter for a parrot to discover when they're outside of their cage.
Uh-huh.
Or I'll get a book that I don't care about and put it on a side table for them to chew on. An old jacket that I get at a thrift store or one that I'm gonna, maybe a shirt that has snaps on it that I'm ready to toss. I don't toss it. I'll just kind of throw it over a chair, and it's something that they can discover, and they can destroy the zipper or chew off the snaps. A whole vegetable like a bell pepper or banana, just leave it out in the open. All of these things, along with foraging toys placed in the cages, will help stimulate that seeking system in parrots, and it gives them foraging opportunities.
While we're on this, Chris, how do you get a parrot to learn which jacket they can destroy and which jacket you'd prefer they left well alone?
You don't. I used to think this too when I think of certain toys like I have my Congo. He loves the keyboards. And one day I look over behind me and I see where I forgot to cover the keyboard and he was out on the counter. And I look at him and here he's got the space bar in his beak. And I just, Sorba, you know, right away I just did it. And he knew enough because he looked at me and said, no. Got the space bar back. He knew. But I'm thinking that if I find an old one before I throw it away, I will leave that out right for him to play with in a supervised situation. But just because I give him one to play with, that doesn't mean my good one's safe. You know, I know people will say, well, if I give them the jacket to chew up, does that mean they're going to chew up my good jacket? Yeah. But even if you don't give them the old jacket to chew up, if you leave your good jacket out, it's still not safe.
Sure, sure. And I suppose that just illustrates how innate or instinctive a behavior foraging is for a parrot.
It is.
Given that, Chris, what strategies do you use to ensure that the parrot doesn't get bored with what's being offered him?
Well, I think changing things up is key. For example, I like to use stainless steel skewers to hang in the cage. Wow. And I'll thread food and shreddable materials like pieces of cardboard or wood or vine balls or vine mat between the food that I string on those stainless steel skewers.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also one day made the same type toy, just stringing the same food and the same materials on hemp rope and hung that in the cage. And I noticed that I got a little bit more sustained activity. My thinking would be they had been so used to the skewers, which they're rigid.
Yeah.
So when they go to chew on a skewer, it moves a certain way, but the rope's more flexible. So they got a different experience foraging with the item strung on the rope as the item strung on the skewer. Toy bowls and crocks are good to do variety. You can put them in different places in the cage. You know, you can get those quick-lick crocks that you can put in the cage in different places.
Sure.
And fill them with different things. You can put just a bucket or a bowl of foot toys out on the counter. You can move it to different places. And you can change the types of materials that you use as your toy bases. Someday I'll give them a cardboard egg carton filled with foot toys and treats hidden amongst shredded paper. Another day it might be vine balls filled with items of interest. And the next day maybe a food skewer. There's also ways to present food in different ways. You can present it in different locations. Take one of those flour tortillas and wrap up their daily mash in the flour tortilla and you know, that's presented in a different way. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've got the flat shelf in the cage that you can put the tortilla on the flat shelf. So it's in a different location and presented in a different way. If you give them chopped vegetables and sprouts, you can wrap it in a whole kale leaf, like a little burrito, all different ways to change it up. And there's an article that I really like, and it's in the second book I wrote. It's the Parrot Enrichment Activity Book Version 2, and these books are available as free downloads at the Parrot Enrichment website. It was written by Michelle Tchaikowski, and it was called Converting Cages into Enclosed Foraging Trees. In that article, she details how she used a variety of food bowls placed in different areas of the cage to switch up the game for her parrot. It's really doable for somebody that goes to work.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have time to make a lot of toys, her idea of just putting a whole bunch of different bowls in different spots and turning that cage into kind of like its own foraging tree. It's really inexpensive, and it's also an easy, doable thing for a busy person.
I'm glad you mentioned inexpensive there, Chris, because as you've already explained, it doesn't have to cost a lot to provide foraging opportunities. You can use fairly everyday items. You've mentioned string there and egg boxes and paper.
Yes, I'd say you can make use of the items that you have at home. And there's great groups out there that you can look. You can go online and look at the parrot toys. And a lot of times you can look at it and see where you might be able to replicate it with items that you have at home. You know, a basket that's shredded, you might be able to find a basket at a thrift store or garage sales and replicate a lot of the toys yourself, just with items that you have in the house.
You do caution against using large cardboard boxes, though, don't you?
Yes. I see a lot of parrot forums and examples that where people use boxes that they put in the cages and they show the bird crawling in the box and really enjoying it. You want to use those wisely. Sometimes giving a parrot a box that they can crawl into, it triggers the excitement of excavating a nest for them. I kind of prefer taking, say, just a box that I have left over from maybe a cracker box or something like that I can hang in the cage.
Yeah, good advice there, Chris. Tell me, when you're talking about the different materials that you're offering to your parrots there, how do you make sure that what you're offering is parrot safe?
I think I find that toy part safety is particularized to the individual parrot. There are toy parts that I'd consider safe for my parrot that may not be safe for another parrot. And whether or not you feel comfortable giving your birds a certain type of toy or toy part is very often a decision that only you can make. And it definitely requires that you know your bird. And not just what your parrot uses or is interested in, but how does he use it? Does he break off pieces of plastic and hold them in his beak for long periods of time? Maybe plastic isn't a good idea for that bird. Mm. Can he play with plastic straw pieces in a completely safe way? Or does he look like he may be breaking pieces off and not tossing them to the floor of his cage, but he's rolling them around in his mouth too much? That might be an indication that those little spiral straws that a lot of us like to use might not be a good toy for that parrot because he might be ingesting them. See, you need to pay attention. How does he use beads? Monitor any new creative uses for items. And as far as the materials that are safe, there's some standards that we know. Metals, zinc probably isn't good for parrots. You should use stainless steel. There's certain toxic materials that are pretty obvious. Kind of the tried and true rule that you'll see repeated over and over again is always observe your parrot with a new toy. If you've got a new toy or a new substance that you're going to put in the cage, do it on a weekend or whenever it's your weekend. You know, don't put it in the cage and run off to work. You know, you want to make sure anything new you introduce, you can observe. And then that goes to what I said about not just how he uses toy, you know, interacts with the toy, but how does he use it?
And Chris, when you're thinking about introducing foraging, do you think that different species of parrots might need different items presented to them to get started?
Yes. A cockatoo would be more interested in puzzle toys and wood chewing, where a cockatiel might be more interested, instead of chewing large blocks of wood, maybe they'd like small branches in their cage to forage on, or a shallow tray of seed and pellets placed on the bottom of the cage with shredded paper over it. So it kind of depends on the size of the parrot and the parrot personality.
Sure.
Like a large macaw would be interested in different toys than an African gray. And again, you can get ideas and learn what might interest your particular parrot by joining forums or workshops.
And of course, there's plenty of information available on the World Parrot Trust website.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, you mentioned there your different parrots. Do you need to take a different approach when introducing foraging? Sort of take into consideration a parrot that might be nervous as opposed to one that's much more adventurous?
Yeah, we all know that every parrot's a study of one, mm-hmm. and any of us who have multiple parrots know this. And I guess an example I can use is I have three Timna African gray parrots, and I've had to approach foraging opportunities that I provide for them differently for each one. An example that comes to mind, I have at the Adding Food to Toys page of the Parrot Enrichment website, I've got a downloadable pamphlet there, and it illustrates ways to use small pumpkins as foraging opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And I show how I had to modify the pumpkin from my Timna Elvis. Elvis was afraid of the whole pumpkin being placed in his cage. But when I cut the pumpkin in half and hung it on a skewer, he was receptive to that being put in his cage. And Buddy, who's my most adventurous when it comes to foraging toys, you'll see photos and videos of him swinging upside down from foraging toys, and he's ripping paper off, hanging foraging cups to get at the items hidden inside. But one day, this is a simple foraging idea that most people give to start birds out on. They'll say just cover their food dish with paper. So I covered his food bowl with paper, and I put it in his cage, and I scared the poor little bird right off his perch. But it never occurred to me the paper-covered food bowl would frighten him when he had no problem with the stainless steel cups covered with paper hanging in his cage.
Sure.
So I guess my takeaway message here would be that you should apply keen observation and along with patience and persistence, and then find the things that interest your parrot.
And Chris, in your experience, how long might it take for you to discover exactly what does interest your parrot?
That's kind of a more difficult question to answer. I think if you can hone in on what your parrot likes and make the toy simple at first and then gradually work in the complexity, you'll have better results. Like I have an example of my parrot Irving, who wasn't used to foraging toys when I got him. Mm-hmm. And I started out real small with him. I knew he liked bird bread. And so I baked it in a mini muffin and I put a hole in it when I baked it and I strung it on a toy. And that was it. Just the one piece of bird bread on a rope, put it in the cage. And once he got used to going over there and chewing on that, then I would add certain things to it. And all in all, I'd say that took about 2 weeks before he was an experienced forager, you know, to where he would chew through items to get to a toy.
Right.
And then there's another thing. It's important to also consider the individual needs of the parrot.
Sure.
And with some realistic expectations for their ability to forage. Just like I said, my Timna Elvis has learned to forage food out of toys hung in his cage, but I would never expect that he'll become the adventurous forager that, say, Buddy or my Congo Zorba is. Elvis will quickly give up if the experience is too hard for him. But you have to find out the level that he wants to work at. You know,
right.
He doesn't want to work at a harder toy, but he will like an easier toy.
Chris, you talked there about Irving, who'd not foraged before coming to you. Can I ask, again, in your experience, what the benefits are of introducing foraging to parrots that may not have had the opportunity to forage before?
Yes, they just seem to become more interested in their environment. One really, really, really remarkable benefit I learned with Irving was when I got him, he had what they call stereotypies, abnormal repetitive behavior. He would be in his cage and he would just bounce one foot over and over and over and just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And the more foraging opportunities I gave him, the less he had those stereotypical behaviors.
Wow.
He's also a plucker, and I've noticed that he still plucks,
right,
but it seems to be a little less.
That's fascinating, Chris. Presumably, it's partly because he's able to perform those innate behaviors that we referred to earlier in the conversation.
I think it also alleviates boredom.
Yeah,
you know, that in that caged environment, without the foraging opportunities, I found when I put food on a toy or add food to a toy, or if outside the cage there's a foraging opportunity, say rambling through a whole bunch of different parts to find the favorite parts that they want or the favorite foot toy that they want, it just seems to create more of a sustained activity in them than if I were to just put a toy in there that just has a bunch of hanging pieces of wood.
You mentioned adding food there, Chris. Is there a way to introduce fresh food to foraging? Because obviously some parrots that haven't had foraging before might not be sure what to do with fresh food.
Well, sometimes you have to start with what we would consider junk food. You know, you've got to get them to want to go over there. You
sure.
know, I know that we don't want to give them those toys, but you got to start somewhere. And then you just gradually add more items, and then they get the hang of it. And then you'll see them tearing greens off toys, but they have to get used to seeing it also.
Chris, sadly, we're running out of time. You've given us a wealth of information already. As a last thought, when you initially thought about offering foraging to your birds, do you remember thinking that it seemed like a daunting or difficult thing to do? Because I know that a lot of people do think that way.
I know I did in the beginning. I kept thinking, oh gosh, that's so complicated. I don't know if I, you know, how am I going to do it? You know, and I didn't realize that it can be just as simple as putting a bowl of vegetables on the counter and letting them just run through it. You know, I was hung up on how complicated I had to make it. You know, do I need to have them twist open something to get to something, to get to something else? Not realizing that a parrot in the wild, what do? They fly over, see a cornfield, land and forage. It doesn't have to be that complicated. You just provide the variety. And you don't have to hide it that well. You know, just to have a skewer with a vegetable on it with, say, a coffee filter on top. When you think about it, it's a decision-making process, and it's a different way that the parrot's got to look. He's got to go under it, up, get it, turn, you know, but it's right there.
And all of that, of course, helps enrich the parrot's life.
It does. It does. It stimulates the brain cells, it encourages activity, and alleviates boredom.
which, as we often point out on the Parrot Care Sessions, is essential for the good health of our birds. Chris Porter, thank you very much indeed.
Oh, you're welcome. I enjoyed it.
For more information about foraging, including instructional videos and tutorials on making your own enrichment items, visit Chris Porter's Parrot Enrichment website at www.parrotenrichment.com. And of course, if you'd like more information about parrots and parrot conservation, then do please visit the World Parrot Trust's website at www.parrots.org. And finally, if you'd like more information about me, Charlie Moores, then please do visit my website, Talking Naturally, at www.talking-naturally.co.uk.